for being here, and we appreciate everyone. And one of the gifts that God sent us about 4 years ago was the Stimson family. And so today we get to hear from Pastor Tom, and he's going to come up and share with us about part of our mission statement. So can we welcome Pastor Tom as he comes and shares?
Good morning. Can you hear me? I got a green light, so it should be good. Is it coming in at all? Go up a little higher. Is that working? We good? I know Dan will make it work because he's the man. I can hear it. We're getting better. Good morning, everybody. As I was getting ready this week, feverishly going through the seasons of nervousness and then so much stuff in my head and then trying to say, what am I going to stop and talk about? There's these Bible verses that just kept coming in front of me. So I believe that I'm supposed to share three Bible verses today. So I'm just going to read them real fast. And if they're for you, just take them. And if it may be there for me. But anyway, Psalm 34. In Psalm 34:17, it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. Somebody might have needed to hear that. Joshua 1:9, this is a great verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and also of self-control. We can be in control because of God's spirit. We have power. Somebody need to hear that. Anybody, was that for anybody here? Somebody's ready. I see. Good, good, good. Let's pray. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, I thank you that you have called us your children. I thank you that, just as Shiloh said, that you are after us, that you want us, that you pursue us, that you don't leave us, you don't give up on us, but you come after us always. And that's humbling, Lord. So we just stand and sit here today just being humbled at how awesome you are. And we just say thank you for considering us. In Jesus' name, amen. So these past few weeks, we've been at the beginning of the new year. We decided to take some time to kind of recheck our vision and talk about our church's vision statement. This place, Marion Christian Center, and you remember the first week in January, our vision is that we would show Jesus to our world. And everybody can do that because we all have a little part of the world that we're in. We're showing Jesus to our world. And then we went on to talk about what's our mission, what's our overarching purpose here at Marion Christian Center. And if you remember, you can say it with me. Our mission is to come, grow, and go. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Perry again shared about the come, the part of the mission that we're to come. And he focused a lot on how God, our God is a welcoming God. The heart of God is welcoming. And he beckons us to come. He wants us to be with him. And then so therefore, we want to be a people like that. We want to be like God. We want to be welcoming. We want to be inviting. And when people join us, we want them to know that they're welcome to be with us as we chase after God. And then Josh Cooper last week talked about grow. What does it mean to grow? And in that part of the mission that, yes, we want to grow as a church body, as the body of Christ in number. But we don't just want to grow in number. We also want to grow individually in our faith. We want to grow individually in our knowledge of God. We want to grow in our relationships. Because the Bible teaches that relationships is how we relate. It's how we live. We're in relationship with one another. And that helps us to learn. It helps us to be accountable. It helps us to be encouraged. So God set that up. And then today, I get to unpack the go part. And just so you know, the go in come, grow, and go is not something that pastors and elders sat in a room and came up with. Go is really a command that Jesus gives us as the church. And you're likely most familiar with this passage called the Great Commission. But before I get into unpacking the Great Commission and this idea of go, I just want us all to get on the same page for a minute. And I want us to realize that we did not wake up this morning and we do not get up on Sunday mornings and go to church. We are the church. Amen. The church is you and I, along with every other called out one throughout the world. Every other believer in this world, we are the church together. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones God has called out, and we are the ones that God has told to go. Now, I know Deb's on board. She said amen. If you believe that, say amen. 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 I have a quick little video that Dina's got ready, if we're able to hit the lights. Watch this. This is also going to help us get on the same page. there you go. So that's my message for today. I really liked that, and that was like the heart of what God kept telling me that was talking about with going. But I'm going to unpack it some more. The Great Commission that we've heard of, it is what Jesus told his followers to do right after Easter and right before his ascension. And that ascension is when he was taken back up into heaven and he sat down because his work was finished. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And there are three places in Scripture where you can clearly see when Jesus is telling his followers what he wants them to do. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm going to try this. I pushed it. Let me see what happens now. Yeah, see, I never have any luck with this thing. So, Dina, you're my go-to. We're just going to get to that first scripture in Matthew. And Dina's just going to follow along as I read. Is it coming? The PowerPoint? You can put Matthew up there. So we're going to read Matthew and we're going to see it together. Chapter 28, starting with verse 16. I'm just trusting right now. I'm just going to start reading and we're going to catch up. So Matthew 28, you're familiar with this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's one you're familiar with. Now check out in Mark, same thing's happening, but it's a different perspective. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. And then in Luke, I'm not going to read through the encounter in Luke, but I encourage you to do that if you're writing it down. Luke 24, 36 through 49. I'm not going to read it, but it shows, and you can put that next slide up, a third time that there were doubters. The disciples were struggling with believing, and it also shows for a third time, Jesus talks to them again about what is going to accompany them as they go. In Luke, Jesus tells them that he will send what the Father has promised. Do you know what the promise of the Father was? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I found in Joel, which is next, in chapter 2, says this. In the Old Testament, the prophet Joel says, this is the promise of the Father. He says, "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." That pouring out began on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. It began after the ascension when Jesus had told them, "I'm going to go up and I'm going to send you the promise of the Father." When Jesus said, I have been given all authority, and all authority is going to go with you. And in Mark, he says, "In my name, you're going to do this." Now, for the rest of my time right now, talking about the Great Commission, I could talk about what it looks like when we go and make disciples. I could talk about how to do that, how each one of us has a story about God's greatness in our lives. And the better that we get at telling that story, our testimony, the more glory God will get. And as we tell our story, how people will come to want to know Jesus who's been great for us and that we serve. I could also talk about water baptism and how water baptism is often the very first step of obedience that a new believer takes. I could also talk about teaching others, because that said that in Matthew. Teaching others to obey everything that God has taught us and how it's important for us to be a part of the local church body. About how that's God's plan for us to live in relationships with one another and other believers. But today, what I think is most important for us to think about is to focus on how in all three of those Great Commission accounts, we're told how it's accomplished. In Matthew, it's with his authority. In Mark, it's in his name. These signs, these miracles, these wonderful things will be done in the name of Jesus. And in Luke, it's by his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And those three things really are interchangeable. Anywhere you see that in scriptures, if you see in his name, you could replace that with his power or by his authority. Anywhere you could replace those. They mean the same thing. Now it's time for a true confession. True Confessions with Pastor Tom. I've been in ministry for about 22 years now, which blows my mind when I look back. And I'm just so thankful how God has said, you're going to do this. This is your calling, and I've been doing it. 22 years, in the beginning of my ministry, I was in Columbus, and I was a youth pastor, and there was a man named Kevin. He was a very committed helper to me in the ministry. But he suffered greatly with Crohn's disease. He required powerful pain medication. And even while he was medicated, sometimes the pain would break through and you could see it on his forehead. He would just sweat profusely, even as he would be leading a Bible study or driving the kids to a trip or to a concert or something that we were doing. He was faithful, but he suffered. And the true confession is this, that 22 years ago, I didn't really believe completely in miracles. So I didn't even try. But the more that I would lead and the more that I would read and the more that I studied the Bible, my knowledge and my theology began to change. And I began to pray privately for Kevin that he would be healed. And the more that I would pray, the more I would read, the more and more convinced I was that God could do this. And I remember talking to God as if I was trying to convince God how he should do this. Give Kevin healing. Give him this story to tell. I would promise God that if he did this, I would tell everyone I came to about this healing that happened so close to us. Because God, you did a great thing and many would come to follow you. And so some weeks went on and I found myself as I was praying, I would see Kevin and I would even ask him if he was feeling better. And he would say no. In fact, he said the doctors were telling him that, I remember it plain as day, that he had another 8 inches of intestine that had to be removed because of the disease. And I told Kevin, I looked sad when he told me that, and I told him, I've been praying for your healing. And I asked Kevin, do you believe that God could just take this disease away from you? And he said, yes, he believed that. And we prayed. So I asked him, I said, can I pray with you right now? I read in Acts, it says we lay hands on ones. I would like to lay hands on you and just pray with you right now. And we prayed, and I believed with all my heart for his healing. I was telling God how, God, we need a miracle. I told God how the doctors can't do this, but you can, God. I told God, I can't do this, God, but you can. And we prayed, and it didn't happen right then. It still might happen, and I don't understand that. I don't understand how God's will and his power and my obedience, I don't understand how they're connected. And I can't separate them. They need to both be there, but they don't always go the way I think. It's God's will. But the reason I share that true confession is that I'm afraid that sometimes we don't think about the Great Commission. We don't think about evangelism in that same way as praying for someone for healing. We almost feel like there is something that we do that makes it happen. We almost feel like there's... It's up to us for others to know Jesus. It's up to us. It's something we do or say just the right way. And then if it doesn't happen, if they don't place their faith in Jesus, or if perhaps they ridicule us or laugh, you know what happens? Then we start feeling like we're unqualified. And privately we begin to feel like we're inadequate. Have you ever said, man, I really stink at making disciples? And you know what? Some of us stop going altogether. But I'm so glad that in every account of the Great Commission, we see that the disciples were doubting. In every account, we see that they struggled to believe. Remember in Mark, Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. You would have thought that in that minute, Jesus would have said, well, you guys didn't believe. Well, you've disqualified yourself from my service, so I can't send you now. Instead, Jesus commanded those very people, and he commands us, to take the gospel into the whole world. You see, Jesus uses unlikely people to do his work. He chooses imperfect people to do miracles. Every one of you right now should shout, I am qualified. You are qualified. Because it's not going to be by your power. It's going to be by God's power. The next Bible verse, in John 6:63, it says that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. You know, when the scripture talks about unbelievers or ones that aren't saved, it uses words like blind. It uses words like deaf. And it uses comparisons as they're dead. In the next scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:14, says the person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. These things are foolish to them. They can't understand them. In fact, such things can't be understood without the power of the Spirit. So do we realize that when we're talking about going and making disciples, that we're talking about the fact that a miracle has to happen? Leading a person to place their trust in Jesus is no less miraculous than asking a blind person to look at you. Leading someone to put their trust in Jesus is no less miraculous than asking a deaf person to listen. It's no less miraculous than us going to the cemetery and raising a dead person out of the ground. It's no less miraculous, but it requires us to walk in his name, by his authority, and with his power. And I want to make this very clear. Fulfilling the Great Commission is not only us taking time out of our year and planning ahead, much like our youth ministry this summer. They're going to be planning ahead, raising money, and they're going to go on a mission. The Great Commission is not like that. It's not like one of us who says, I'm going to plan ahead and take a vacation, and I think I might go to Haiti with a mission company, and I'm going to go on a mission. When God gave us the Great Commission, it wasn't so that at the end of our life, we could go, whew, I went on 7 mission trips, and 3 of them were out of the country. I'm convinced that when Jesus told us and the disciples to go and make disciples, what he meant, it was as you are going, wherever you go, whatever you do, as you live your everyday life following me, he's telling us to do it in his name, with his authority, and by his power. Please know that I'm all for mission trips. I'm going to be supporting the youth to go, my own children, it's money we pay. I'm all for it. And I'm all for it for people to go to Haiti and Bangladesh. What I'm not for is for people to come back and say, well, I did the Great Commission. What I'm for also is that we realize that every day, in every way, whatever we're doing it in his power, in his name, and by his authority. In Matthew, Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In Mark, Jesus says that these signs, these miracles are going to happen by the believers in my name. And then in Luke, it's with my power, the promise of the Father. You need to know that you and I as believers, see, this is what we need to know. You and I as believers have a right to use the authority of Jesus. He has given us that. He's authorized us to use his authority. It's not your authority. It's not your abilities. It's not your popularity. It's not how good you are at speaking. It's not your education. It's not your wealth. It's not your personality. We've been authorized to use his power. And as believers, his power. His name is high above any other name. It says there's no name that's above him. As believers, we don't have to live in bondage to anything. We don't have to be under the devil's feet. Scripture says we're supposed to put the devil under our feet. That we have authority and we have power. That's why we talk so much here at MCC about living as overcomers and having victory in our life. Because we believe that. That God has authorized us to use His power. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors because what Christ has done. Not because of what we do. But you have to know what God has given you. We have the authority to walk in His name. And you know what? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, just hear this. It says that because of what Jesus has done, God has given Him the name that is high above any other name. I'm not just saying that. It's in Philippians. There is no other thing that's greater than Him. Every other thing has to submit, is subordinate to the name of Jesus. Listen to this. The name addiction must submit to the name of Jesus. The name, oh, this is a good story. Just last Monday at volleyball, I was talking with a friend of mine. And we were celebrating and thanking God together because his wife was about to move back into his house with him. After over a year of being separated, God was putting their marriage back together. The name of Jesus is above the name divorce. The name of Jesus is above the name of any demon or evil desire that comes in front of us. It's above the name cancer. The name of Jesus is above the name abuse. We can have victory. We can overcome every obstacle in our life because we have been given the authority to walk in His name and use His power. If I could have the musicians and the personal ministry team, you guys are welcome to come forward. We've come a long way this morning, and I hope that you followed with me. We talked about the mission of our church body, the Marian Christian Center. We talked about why we get together every Sunday. We talked about how we're called to fulfill the Great Commission. And as believers, it's our job to go. And we spent a lot of time talking about the name of Jesus and the authority and the power of God. And I don't want anybody to leave here wondering what any of this has to do with making disciples. The authority and the power and the name of Jesus has everything to do with making disciples. So I want to read from the second chapter of Philippians. And I'm just going to leave it up to the Holy Spirit to help you understand what Philippians has to do with the Great Commission. As a believer, every day it is our goal to be like Jesus wherever we go. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, if you have any tenderness, if you have any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant and being made to look like a human and being found in appearance as a man. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Listen, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's salvation. That's the Great Commission to the glory of God our Father. Amen. It is possible that some of us here today have been confronted with the reality that there is something that we can name that has found a place in our life above the name of Jesus. That there are areas in our life that we might be in bondage to. Addiction. Abuse. Pornography. Fear. Depression. These people up here are prayer warriors. They are qualified to pray with you about anything. It could be for a new job. It could be just to say thank you, Jesus. It could be for a loved one who's sick. They can pray with you for healing. But also they can pray for victory in whatever area you might need the Lord to take over. They're here for you, and I encourage you to come forward. It's just between you and them and God. So I invite you to take advantage of that. But first, I want to pray for any and all of us here today who might be realizing, and it could be for the first time, you might realize again the great need that you have for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on you, to live in you. The Bible calls this a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not scary. And it's not something that I can do for you. The Bible says that Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. But I can agree with you as you desire to receive that. So if you are recognizing that the life that's in front of you, the places you're to go, that you need help, that you'll need the power of God to go with you, I'm inviting you now to simply stand right where you are. And by standing, you're saying, I'm in need of the power of the Holy Spirit today. You desire to receive that power. And I'm going to pray. And I am asking you to stand. We prayed earlier that there would be no fear and that Satan would have no power in this room. For anyone right now that's saying, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think I've been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you to stand. This is for young people and old people. And I'm going to pray. And you can pray out loud with me. You can pray in your heart. But I just want to encourage you, whether you're sitting or standing, you just put your hands in this position. Because it's an act of receiving. And I'm going to pray for you, but I want to remind you that you received the Holy Spirit the same way you prayed to receive Jesus. It's by faith. So if you don't feel anything different, that's okay. Some people do, some people don't. Because you're receiving it by faith and not by feeling. I want you to know without a doubt that because you're opening your heart right now, that God is hearing you. And God is hearing your prayer right now. Let's pray. Jesus, I come to you right now and I ask you to fill my brothers and sisters with your Holy Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, the same way that you filled the believers at the day of Pentecost, I'm asking you to fill us right now with your power and your Holy Spirit from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Anoint them, Lord, with the power of your Spirit. And we take authority over Satan right now. And every evil spirit of addiction and fear and doubt that's causing us to unbelieve. And Lord, I command these things to go in Jesus' name. And every place that the enemy has left right now, Lord, I pray your Spirit, that you would place your Spirit to fill those empty spaces, Lord. To fill those spaces with your power and your fruit. Come, Holy Spirit. We tell you that we receive it. I receive your Spirit, Lord. Jesus, thank you for giving the Holy Spirit to each one who desires it. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.